Morning. All right, so Fred's going to give the word. Let's get our hearts prepared, amen. Well, hallelujah, Father. Lord God, I just lift up Fred to you right now, Lord. And Father, I just pray that your anointing be upon him, Lord God. Father, just fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, this message that's in his heart, Father, we just pray that it would come forth. Father, it would minister to us as well, Lord God. Father, let us clear our minds and our hearts and receive this word that you have for us, Lord God. And Father, let us apply it, Lord. Let's just not listen to it and walk away, Father. Let's just chew on it, think about it, and use it and apply it with ourselves and others, Lord. And we thank you for Fred in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I was going to do this on perseverance. But it kind of went off. After
always
I
go with something you know about, right?
Yes, exactly. And it's kind of went off into obedience/perseverance. And as I started thinking, I don't think you can have one without the other. You know, to be obedient to Christ. I mean, to persevere through the storms. You know, I think you had to be obedient to Christ and what he's telling you to do. Because I got a scripture I want to read, but, you know, I think when we're going through a storm, we have to really, we like to say, Lord, get me out of here, or help me figure out, way to get out of this, or we like to blame the devil, the devil's coming against me and this and that, but as you actually start reading the word more and actually knowing who Christ is, you see that, Christ holds all power. He holds, there's nothing the devil can't come against you unless he got permission. We can go back to Peter. I'll never leave you, Lord. I'll die for you. And Jesus tells him, Peter, straighten up, basically like, you're going to deny me, you're going to deny me three times, I'm going to, the devil's asked to shift you like wheat, and so I think we, I don't know if it was pride or misguided love, you can say, that he wasn't at the place where he was ready to do that yet, and God took him through some stuff to show him, Peter, you're not there. So I think God takes us through some stuff to show us we're not there. Even if we think we're there. So it's, storms, it's there to teach us. God, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but sometimes he'll lead you into the storm. You could be, basically, you're being obedient, and the storm comes. Maybe that's when the storm comes the most. When you're trying to be obedient, you're like, Lord, why has this happened to me? I'm doing what you told me to do. We want to say, well, maybe it's something I'm doing wrong. That's why this is coming against me. Well, maybe it's something you're doing right. You got to look that you're, if God holds all control, then this is not happening unless he wants it to happen. We can blame it on, I'm still doing this, I'm still doing that. Well, he knows you're still doing that. He knew you was doing this before you even, he picked you. He chose you to come to me. He knew you was messed up before you come here. Ed Trout always told me, God loved you where you're at. But he loves you so much, he's not going to leave you where you're at. He told me that. Yeah, you want God to leave you alone, but he's not going to leave you alone. Because he loves you that much. So I don't know where that came from, but it's there. So let me read this scripture. It's out of Luke 8, 22-25. And it's it's Jesus calming the storm. We probably heard it many a times, but it says, one day Jesus said to the disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into the boat and set out. as they were selling, he fell asleep. You know, Jesus, I mean, he was God, but he's fully man. I mean, he had a busy schedule. I know I had a busy schedule with my house, but my wife wouldn't let me sleep, I'll tell you that.
I was busy.
My wife had a list about this long, and then when I got down to there, it got longer on the other side, and then flip the paper over. You didn't flip the paper over, you know. But it got so bad. Hold on, I got to say this. Here I go. Since you brought it up, Pastor, it got so bad, I had to do this, that, and then, we got to go look at a house. At this time, I say, well, baby, I can't slip myself in half and be in two places at one time. I mean, what do you want me to do? So we thanked the Lord. The house was up for about 20 hours, and we got an offer, and we took it. And so thank you, Lord, for that. And that was a whole nother. I wish I could say me and my wife is on the same page. I wish I could say that, But we got through it.
At least you were in the same book.
We got the same book. Her, she was already saying the end, and I was still reading, and that too, right there. We got to learn from that. That me and her was at odds. A lot of the way, but, after we come together and talked and, I said, hey, babe, I think this is right. She said, okay. So I thought that was like she was really on board with this, as she thought, and I said, all right, I'll just leave her, And I told her, I said, if you really think this is not the price, I won't take it. So after she's been let her some time, I guess the Lord spoke to her, she goes, she come out with a different, all right, it's like, okay, this and that. So we took it, I explained, kind of explained to her, like, it's only this much less than what we wanted, which wasn't very much. I don't have to leave my house six times a day. I could probably be done with doing stuff in this house, and for me, it was great, So and then I told her, now we can really focus on throwing bids on other houses, and, this house is gone. Look towards the future, and so she was all happy with that, and so we're going to the next stage of this storm. But yes, so we learned, and I'm sure there was many more things I could learn, but. That I haven't figured out yet. So it'll probably be another storm somewhere down the line to figure that out. But anyways, I don't even know where I was at here. All right, Jesus fell asleep. A swell came down on the lake, so the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we're gonna drown." He got up and rebuked the winds and the waves. The storm subsided, and was calm. "Where's your faith?" he asked the disciples. The disciples replied to themselves in fear and amazement. They asked one another, "Who is this that he even commands the waves, the storms?" I think it was that. Yeah, even the commands, the winds and the water, and they obey him. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we can see from that they didn't understand yet. They didn't understand that he was God in the flesh, even though they was, "You're the Messiah." They already asked, "Well, who is the Messiah?" Then I think it's in Isaiah, it said, a child will be born of a virgin. He would be called Emmanuel. Well, what does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. So they don't even know that he was, I don't know if they still think that he was just a prophet with the Spirit of God, but they didn't understand that he had all control. And I think we make that mistake too when we're in certain trials in our life. That God has all control. you know, that this is not happening. You know, we didn't, I mean, I can say we didn't cause it, because sometimes we do cause our own problems, you know, by things we do. But in the other words, well, we cause our own problems, but did God allow us to cause their problems? I mean, just, you can go into predestined, I guess. That's another thing. That could scrabble your mind. I mean, I did a little study on that. I had to stop because I started going down so many rabbit trails. And it was like, well, if he said if he was predestined, then when I was 16 and did that, oh, that was pretty bad, you know. And then I was thinking, well, then maybe he knew I was going to do this, and that was kind of messed up too. And I was like, all right, I'm done, you know, I'm done here, you know. So I mean, but it's, you know, it clearly says you was predestined for this moment, you know. So he, you know, I mean, you could say if God's all righteous, then I mean, if God's just, then how can he forgive this? Because he's sovereign too. He can do whatever he wants, you know. So instead of asking why, you should ask thank you, you know, for forgiving me, you know, because he sees something in me, he sees something in all of us that we don't even see, you know, and we're all, you know, we all got our certain gifts. I mean, we've heard that many a times, you know. I mean, but of course you have to go through certain things to see where you're lacking and where, you know, where you need to, we need to correct ourselves. You know, we got to see what God sees, you know, in us in certain times in our lives, I think. You know, because you can see in this paragraph, you know, because they was, you know, the disciples were afraid. You know, they were like, hey, we're going to drown. They wasn't saying, oh, the Messiah is going to drown. They were saying, I'm going to drown. They was like selfish in this, I mean, because fear does get you. Like, what about me? You know, me? You know, this happened to me, you know, going down with the ship, you know. And so there was self-preservation there. Jesus said, I want all of you. You know, later in life, after they went through all these things, they was willing to die for him. You know, but they didn't start out that way. I mean, we didn't start out that way. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't think I'm not there yet, you know, to give my life for something. I mean, I will for you, baby. But don't be starting no trouble, you know. But, you know, and that's that's actually a shame, because he gave his life for you. You know, but if you're going to be honest, you know, you don't want to be like Peter, I'll die for you, Lord. And then when it comes, you're running the other way, brother. You know, after you stop running, you might feel bad, but you're running, brother, you're gone. But, and it's, you know, it says, I wrote down here that we think we're trusting in the Lord until the storm hits. It reveals how we really don't trust him. When we, you know, when we're, you know, what about me? Why am I going through this, Lord? What about, you know, basically, what about me? You know, I think we're always praying, and I know I do this, Lord, you know, get me out of this mess, or get me, you know, Lord, just, you know, if there was an exit, I'd take it real quick, because I don't like, you know, I like peace, you know. But, you know, instead of asking, what do you want me to learn in this, Lord? You know, what am I supposed to do in this? What would you have me do? Because I know what I would do. I want to exit stage left. You know, I want to get out of here. You know, but like I said, you're there. I guess I could say you're there for a reason. You know, but it's, you know, it's like when somebody comes against you, your first react is to hit back. You know, and you know, maybe, well, why is this happening? What would you have me learn, Lord? I mean, am I to humble myself, show him your goodness? Or am I to, you know, the Bible does say, talk to a divisive man once, talk to him twice, and then have nothing to do with him. Sometimes you do have to say, look, I'm just constantly arguing with you about this matter. You know, it's actually hindering me from doing what I need to do. So in certain, you do have to say, all right, you know, I like talking to you no more. I mean, actually, my wife had to do it to a cousin. He was an anti-Trumper, Trump basher. You know, and so they was going back and forth, you know, and, you know, and he's just like, you know, he started getting in. It sounded like he was taking right from CNN, and, you know, you guys are all racist and this and that. And, you know, we're like, look, don't even talk to him no more. You can't talk to him. You know, you put your side. He's just throwing insults out, you know. So, you know, then he got mad because you don't want to talk to him no more. You know, so, hey, you know, but you can't be angry at, you know, you could have joy in your heart all day, and this guy fool come and text you some foolish stuff, you know, and now you lost, you know, now you're mad, and, you know, I mean, it's still in your joy, you know, for these some people. And if you're telling him stuff and he's still saying stuff, then, you know, it's not worth it. You know, I mean, don't throw your pearls amongst swine. All right, listen, I had a long weekend, all right? I am emotionally compromised right now.
I'd like to correct you on that. You've had a long life.
Oh, you ain't lying, Bob. Well, I know I had a long weekend. When I finally look at the teacher, I say, it is what it is. I'm done. You know, usually I'm just like worried about it. So Lord, it is what it is. You know, you'll be there for me. You know, and you know, if I fall flat, I fall flat. You know, so I think we just gotta. I mean, actually, sometimes we gotta look at it like that. It is, you know, I'm gonna do it, Lord. I think it's from you, and that's it. I wrote because I started off with this. Gonna do something on David. You know, to do something on David since he's such a good guy. You know. But I mean, God, you know.
There's no favoritism in God.
Yeah. But I mean, if we know David, he had his down, you know, he had his down times, you know. But if you look at, if you read about it, I mean, you know, when Samuel come to anoint him as king. You know, of course, Samuel looked at the first brother. You know, this is the guy. You know, he's strong, handsome. You know, this is king material right here. You know, and the guy said, that ain't the guy. That ain't the one. You know, and you know, God said, you know, you look on the outside, I look in on the heart. You know, and so I think there was seven brothers. You know, going past Samuel, and you know, all of them was no. You know, they didn't even have David in the mix. You know, he was still going on into the fields, buddy, and take care of them sheep. You know, and so they called David in, anointed him as king. I mean, they're saying he was about 16 or 17 at the time. You know, so, you know, and then he goes, and they're thinking he still was in his teens when he came against Goliath. You know, because there, from what I read, and I could be wrong, you know, because I got it off the internet. But they're saying that if he was in his 20s, he would have been in the army. I guess that's why they think he was still in his teens. So, you know, so he's still in his teen. Well, he slayed Goliath. We all know that story, you know. And you know, it's his stardom. You know, David was the man, slayed the giant. You know, you would think he was right on the path to be king. You know, another couple years, Saul's gone, he's king. Well, David didn't actually become king until he's 30. He was in his 30s. So that's 10 years of him running from Saul. You know, tried to kill him two times with a spear, I think. Send men to his house, you know, to, you know, we wait till the morning and catch him when he's coming out. I'm like, dang, Saul, you kind of ruined it. Going out for work and you knock him in the head. I was like, what's happening? You know, but of course, David, you know, his wife found out about it or whatever. And, you know, there's two guys, you know, waiting outside. They're going to get you in the morning. You're about to get out of here. So she helps him escape. You know, David's on the run. You know, so, if you know, I ain't got time to go into everything, but, you know, between, you know, the 10 to 12 years, he was learning stuff between that time, you know, to be king. Even though after he became king, he did fall. You know, we all know all about Bathsheba and everything, but there was even consequences to that in his life. You know, God told him, you'll never have peace. You know, like, wow, that's, you know, at first you think, what kind of stuff is that? But one son raped a daughter. The other son kills that son, you know, and then he takes off. Don't see him for a long time. And David brings him back, but don't talk to him. Then that son, you know, wants to kill him, wants to take over the kingdom, cause a rebellion, you know. So David had nothing but fighting all his life, through his own family, through people, you know, and that's a lot to bear. You know, we have, you know, sometimes I have rebellious kids, you know, not one sitting here right now, but that right there was, you know, it's a lot of stress, worrying about your kids and, you know, this and that, but that is like, you know, I couldn't even imagine that, you know, to have your kids killing each other, raping each other, and, you know, I mean, that's just craziness. You know, so he, you know, I guess you could say, some people look at it like, what happened with Sheba and, you know, and her husband, him, you know, killing her husband and stuff was, that wasn't a good enough punishment. But I'm thinking, to that, he probably wanted to die a few times in his life going for that stuff, you know. But, again, I don't know where I went off on that tangent, but yeah, it says, all right, it says, I wrote this. There's no account that David knew up front what was going to happen to him. It just started happening. Welcome to God's training program. You know, because he's training you to be more like Christ for us, you know. If you can imagine if we knew what was going to happen in our lives, we hit the nearest exit. You know, so we, you know, there's a reason why God don't let you know ahead of time, you know, what he's going to do in your life. Or what you do to train you up. Because for one thing, me, I'd be like, oh, Lord, the way you're doing, I could just take this shortcut, you know, because, you know, you're always thinking about doing something easier when you're working. Right. You know, I could just cut that out, you know, and go right to this. You know, well, that little piece I might have cut out meant a lot, and I just don't see it. You know, so there's, you know, you can see, but I look at Paul. You know, this I actually started thinking of Paul, so I wrote his conversion, and I always like this one because, you know, it's when God tells Ananias, you know, go over to Straight Street, you know, meet a guy from. I mean, how much more is that till you got to be? I mean, he even gave me the address and everything, you know. And they like, well, Lord, what, you know, I don't know if this is from you, you know, but this is like. And then he knows you're coming because I already told him that you're coming over there. You know, a guy named Ananias. I was like, well, how much confirmation do you need? I mean, so, you know, and Ananias is like, well, Lord, this guy, he's actually in town to kill us, you know, because that's what he comes to be sent for. I mean, he was worried, but he was obedient. He went, you know. And what I always liked, you know, because they say, you know, he says, because All right. I don't even know where I put that scripture, but I got it in my head because I'm such a scholar. But it's going to be the Fred Ramsey version. I mean, not basically NIV. But, he tells Ananias, go talk to Paul. And Ananias is telling him, well, this guy's here to kill us. You know, all the people, everybody's saying, Paul's coming to town to persecute us. You know, basically to arrest you, throw you in jail, and you're probably going to end up dead because they're going to probably try you for blasphemy. So that was automatic. They done stoned Stephen and everything. So it's pretty much a death sentence if you got caught, I would think. But he tells them, well, you got to go over because I picked him, to talk to King, to Gentiles, and even fellow Israelites. Basically I picked him to be my messenger. And I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer, doing all this. Now, if they told me that, I might have to think twice about becoming a Christian. Suffering, because when I came, I'm like, hey, if I found the Lord, man, everything's going to be easy street. As long as I do what he says and do my best, my bills are going to be good, and I'm all jacked up on them, and I'm partying all the time. That's going to go away, no problem, well, sorry to say, it didn't quite happen the way I visioned it. I remember one time I'm, praying, Lord, bills coming in, help me out, I know I messed up and overextended myself, this and that, and I'm on my knee, real heartfelt prayer, yes. 2 days later, I'm laid off. And I'm like, whoa, man, did that like hit the cloud and go off into outer space? What happened, But I'll tell you what, through that time, I never missed a house payment, never missed a car payment. My bills were getting paid. I couldn't even ask you how. I couldn't even tell you how. It was like, it got to the point because my wife was still building the business, so we was doing a lot of houses and stuff. And it was, it was like, man, $300 car payment coming up, man. You got the money. Because all my unemployment, that goes for the house payment when you got unemployment. So, and there would be a house, two houses call, hey, can you come clean my house? I'm like, well, yeah, we come right over right now, So it was always, right at that time. And that's got to be the Lord, It was a coincidence, Yeah, you sure can, baby.
You've been waiting.
All right. Now for Esther's side of the story.
I just want to share that what he just said about when he was laid off. And I'm so glad that he's saying that because it's actually bringing confirmation to my heart about selling the house and how Pastor Don and Bob Cassidy actually had to encourage my husband to make that move. And it had to be the body. I'm going to bring all of it back to God. The body. We needed the body. Do you not know that when my husband was laid off, he spent so much time with Pastor Don? Pastor Don poured so much information into him to make him the man that he is today, the man that he will be in the future. I am so proud, and all I think about, I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be real honest, I have a particular area that I want to be, and some people say, why do you want to be there? And all I know how to say is because I want to be close to my pastor, because I want him to be able to drop by and have coffee. I want him to be able to drop by and have dinner to give me. But he built you up.
That's what you wish for, baby.
In that time, he's going to build us up. He's going to build us up to something we have no, we can't even imagine where my husband will stand 5 years from now, where clean spaces will stand 5 years from now. Because I'll tell you what, I went from making $50 a week to making above and beyond what I ever thought I could imagine. with God and only God who brought me to where I am today. And he led me to women to build me up. And you know what? There was a lot of times where I had to fall down on my face and say, I'm sorry, Father, for acting the way I act. Please change me. And when you say change me, you think that's an easy process? Let me let you know, there was a lot of yelling and screaming by Pastor Don to make me go home, read my word, and turn around and change what I had just spoken to my pastor, and then repent to my pastor, then call the individual from church that I had to repent to. That is beautiful. Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's beautiful, but you know what? It took my pastors. And even this walk this week, taking all the women that encouraged me in prayer and built me up, I couldn't have done it without them. And one of them that walked me and I never thought I would be close to was Laura. I never thought I would be close to Laura, but she was right there. Do you not know, even when she was sick, she would text me and encourage me? That is God. And I'm thankful for my church. It's the church, people. It's just the church who will help you to be where God wants you to be.
Amen.
Amen, babe. Amen. Are you sure you won't pass it down going over all the time? No, that's...
Careful what you
pray. Yeah, kids, what if you watch? What do you want? That's funny. But no, we'll be blessed, you know, on that. So we're just, you know, just keep us up in prayer on that, because now we're into looking for a house. We see a couple. But if I learn anything, the pictures are great until you walk in there. You're like, whoa. One house, they had a beautiful fan. Turned it on, and things started shaking all over the place. And I'm like, whoa, man, turn that off. Like, all right, I've seen enough. I've seen enough. I'm out. You know, you're leaving already? Yeah, I'm gone. So move on. Moving on. The divisive fan, they have nothing to do with it. You know. But, you know, I mean, so it's, you know, to get back to Ananias, he was faithful, you know, to go and you know, to give the word to Paul. I mean, basically, heal Paul with the Holy Spirit, you know, baptize Paul. And it says Paul spent time with the disciples, you know, in Damascus. Sure, it was Ananias. You know, started introducing around. I'm sure Ananias was like, what do you bring that guy here for? You crazy? You know, but he sure he had explained to everybody. You know, this guy just got baptized, man. He's not the same person. You know, and sometimes we had to show people we're not the same person either. You know, because they remember the old Fred. You know, here's, you know, the new Fred. Sometimes they don't like the new Fred. Because Fred don't party no more. Fred don't hang out no more. You know? But, hey, I got to do what I had to do.
That's right.
You know? I would call it according to his name. Amen. You know, so. Yeah, because I remember that. When that first happened. And the people were like, come on out, man. My treat. I'm like, brother, you ain't never treated me before in your life. You know, I mean, hey, I stopped drinking. Now you're ready to treat me. Yeah. The devil, something devil didn't know with that. Yeah, I know that. Or maybe it was the Lord just testing me. You know. But, yeah. I remember when I quit smoking weed. I'll put it out there. So I put it out there. Yeah, you know, hey, it's legal now. Man, I'll start back up, man. Shoot. But anyways, so I had a plan, you know, because it was, you know, I done quit everything, and so I was like, you know, and I used to tell the Lord, hey, you know, ain't no wrong with smoking weed, you know, it keeps me calm, you know, it keeps me going, you know, it's Hakuna Matata, you know, I mean. But he's like, you know, and it's clear as day. I said, Lord, I said, you know, because I'm reading the word in the morning, you know, but on the way to work, I'm puffing on the way, you know, driving. Well, you know, it's like, you know, and I'm speaking to the Lord, you know, I'm saying, you know, gives me peace, you know, to try, you know, handle these fools at work. And clear as day, it was like, I'm your peace. And I'm like, whoa. You know, so I was like, all right, I want to try to quit. You know, so I said, I just won't buy it no more. You know, that'll be, you know. So I said, dude, everybody and your mama want to smoke a J with you after you quit. I'm like, dang, hey, I got one, come on. Dude, and then I had a buddy of mine come and try to give me a sack of weed. I'm sorry, a sack of weed is like a bag of weed. I'm sorry, you know. But so then I just had to think, this ain't, my plan's not working. My plan's not working. This is not going down. So I had to tell him, you know, no. No, I just quit. And I didn't have no urge after I really said no and started praying to the Lord, you know, to help me do this, because you let me do it for so long. You know, and he did, you know, without convicting my heart, but, at you know, and it wasn't because nobody said, you got to quit. You know, it was the Lord that worked that through me, you know, and that's because if somebody would have told me to quit, I would have said, yeah, mind your own business. I would have been, he knows, I would have said, no, I'm not, you know, who are you to tell me? What about what you're doing over there? I would have made up something, you know. But it's the Lord that takes that away from you, you know, and you do it because you want to do it, not because somebody's telling you to do it. I mean, the Lord's telling you, but he's doing it in a way where you want to please him, you know, because you know what he done did for you. You see what I'm saying? It's like, I'm going to do this, Lord, because, you know, I love you for what you done for me, you know, so I guess that's about it. You know, thank you for listening to my stories and prayer and for me, you know, praying for me, and you know, thank you for being my family. So thank you.
Great. Would you like to close?
We'll have Ed, since he's up here, got his suit on and looking all spiffy.
Keep him honest. Keep.
All right. Well, hallelujah. Father, Lord God, we just thank you for this word, Lord God. We thank you that Fred just shared from his heart, his true heart, Lord God. And Father, we respect that, Lord. And Father, yes, we are family, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, that we would just take this word and run with it, Lord, that we would apply it to our lives, share it with others, Lord God. And Father, we just ask your many blessings to be upon us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. Fred, down front.